one time or another, most of us have probably experienced one of those awkward social settings whereby a minor disagreement breaks out that turns into a little bit more energy and some arguments and then some digging into the heels, and pretty soon this ends, or is, it develops into this full-blown argument, complete with, you know, shouting and maybe even some insults. If you yourself have never witnessed such an argument, I would suggest that maybe at your next neighborhood barbecue or family reunion, that at some point at the event just say, "Hey, what does everyone think about the President of the United States?" And then just kind of stand back. That phenomenon of increased arguing and rising tension, they're present in our gospel this morning. We're coming to the end of the sixth chapter of John's gospel. Remember, we've been reading this gospel now since the 29th of July, every single Sunday. And we're getting to the end. At the beginning, remember, they were murmuring, the Jews. And today, all this is building into this climax where Jesus continues to say, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Again, earlier on in this chapter, remember, the Jews were murmuring. Now, however, the gospel says they're quarreling. They're fighting. Maybe they're even shouting at each other. They say, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus doesn't let up. He responds by saying, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you." And the Jews are becoming understandably more upset because they're realizing, contrary to what they want, they're realizing that Jesus is not using symbolic language. In fact, here in this passage, Jesus escalates the situation by using, in the Greek New Testament, that he doesn't use the typical Greek verb for to eat, you know, as we sit down to eat dinner. Instead, he chooses the verb that would be used for an animal, a verb in Greek that would best be translated munch or gnaw on. Huh? Very graphic description of what we are to do with his flesh and blood. And that's a big difference that wasn't lost on the Jews. Their dietary laws forbade them from eating flesh mixed with blood, because blood was the principle of life, it belonged to God, and therefore they couldn't consume it. And so after an animal was butchered, its blood was either discarded or perhaps used in a sacrifice to God. But it wasn't consumed. In fact, the meat was often salted to try to pull out any remaining trace of the blood so that it wouldn't be consumed. And so, you know, that's their background. And here Jesus is saying to them, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." We can see that this wouldn't be a small matter for them. It goes to the heart of their religion. It's a violation of their religion. And so it's no wonder that they're going from murmuring to quarreling and shouting. If politics can turn a conversation bad, religion perhaps can make it even worse. But this is the clear biblical foundation for our belief in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Last Sunday, we looked at the teaching of St. Thomas Aquinas regarding what he called transubstantiation. How the substance of bread and wine, you remember, breadness and wineness, how that is transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. I also mentioned that this change happens through the words of the priest at Mass. Some people may struggle with that, but when you think about it, there's a lot of human words that change a particular reality. So, for example, when a police officer uses the words, "You are under arrest," that changes the reality. Reality changes. Or when you're at a baseball game and the umpire shouts out, again, those human words change reality. When a priest says, "This is my body over bread, this is my blood over wine," reality is changed. This is essential to our lives as Catholics because without priests, there is no Eucharist. And without the Eucharist, there is no church. This is one of the reasons why it's so painful to hear of the grand jury report released this past week in Pennsylvania, outlining clergy abuse allegations going back some 70 years. In commenting on these revelations, Bishop Daly wrote the following. He said, "The Pennsylvania grand jury report is nauseating. The immoral acts of Archbishop McCarrick are despicable. I apologize for the failures of bishops in diocese after diocese, and I look forward to working with my fellow bishops to establish a lay-led investigation into the abuses and cover-up. We need concrete action to restore trust." And then Bishop Daly reminded us, I think wisely, that history tells us that during times of great sin in the world and in the church, God uses that occasion to raise up holy priests and religious to call the world to faith in Christ. That's why, you know, seminarians bring us hope today. He said, "During times of corruption and degeneracy in the clergy, God raises up holy lay women and men to call the church back to holiness." And again, history, I think, proves him to be true. Proves that to be true. And the tools which God gives us to assist us in growth and holiness are pretty straightforward tools. They are personal penance, regular confession, and the worthy reception of Holy Communion, the living bread that came down from heaven. So yes, words change reality. The words of a priest over bread and wine change the reality of that bread and wine into the Holy Eucharist. Without priests, there is no Eucharist. And without the Eucharist, there is no church. I'll share with you one final comment from Bishop Daly. He said, "Transparency is certainly needed, but what is needed even more are priests, bishops, and laity who live holy lives with integrity, so that transparency is not an imposition, but a welcome opportunity to witness to the love of Christ and his saving work in our lives." Living with integrity and witnessing to the love of Christ and his saving work are accomplished when we remain in authentic communion with Jesus Christ. And once again, at this Holy Mass, we have the opportunity to literally enter into communion with Jesus Christ. Holy communion. And we do so with confidence in the words of Jesus himself. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him."